Greetings, Sprouts, Vets, and Moogles. I am Horena Swift, and I welcome you to the Sprout Life Podcast Adventure Entry 3. I welcome you also to join me in my adventures in Eorzea, because this is the podcast about Final Fantasy XIV online through the eyes of a total sprout. And you can contact the show on Twitter at Sprout Life Pod. And you can also email the show at sproutlifepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Horena. And you can also find the show notes, everything I talk about in the show, many ways to contact me, and this new amazing sprout that I'm growing on my website, and it's called the Final Fantasy XIV Content Creator Directory. So yeah, I'm going to talk about that more later on, but you can find that there and help me water it at sproutlifepodcast.com, because that would be awesome. So yeah, I went on a staycation, and I realized that don't take staycations when you're podcasting about, you know, Final Fantasy XIV, especially when there is an expansion coming out in a couple months. You know, geez, I had to take some of my content from this show and throw it into Adventure Entry 4. So don't be surprised if one of those don't pop up within the next couple days, because I was like, yeah, as a single host of this podcast, you guys hear my voice enough. And thankfully, we have two voice messages from the community to throw in. So it's not just Horena yakking at herself and you guys listening to me. But hey, that's what podcasts are all about. So anyways, let's start yakking about some news. All right, let's go. All right, our first chunk of news is the current event that is taking place right now called The Man in Black. And if you did not know about this event, it might be because you're not level 50, because I'm also not level 50, but that's because apparently I would probably be level 60 right now, because I'm leveling two characters in tandem. Like, I have one up to level 30 and then one on 23, and I keep leveling them up 10 levels and hopping back over, and it's, I know, it's give me the side eye. I shouldn't be doing this, but it feels right, and I'm going to just keep doing it. So, don't take life advice from me, okay? So, that's what I'm doing. So right now, there is an event called The Men in Black, or The Man, not The Men, The Man in Black, and it started September 13th at 1 a.m. in the dark depths of 1 a.m., and it will run to Monday, October 18th, 2021, and at 7:59 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and the little quest text goes, the rumor mill is spinning, and Kipajakya, don't take name pronunciation advice from either. They need the help of an adventurer to uncover the truth for her latest article. Dun, 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 dun. So how you participate is, one, you actually have a character in Final Fantasy XIV. I know. Why? What? What? How dare they? So new players must actually, you know, first purchase the game. Second, you need to level your character up to level 50. And I would have, you know, like that, but I like to level both of my characters. My level 23 and my level 30 in tandem. And complete the main scenario quest, the ultimate weapon. So the in-game main scenario guide will help you along your journey to level 50 by indicating the location of the main story quests. And then players that are new to the game will receive an experience bonus point up to level 70 by creating characters on a preferred world. And players eager to participate may wish to consider purchasing optional items to increase their character level or skip immediately to quests in the Heavensward expansion. The seasonal event replay feature is available. If you have already completed the Messenger of the Winds quest, you can speak to Kipajakya to make use of the seasonal event replay feature. And then once you use the feature, the following quests they list on their website, because I'm not going to read off a bunch of following quests for you, all right? But I did put the handy little link in the show notes, and you can find it at the FinalFantasy14.com website. The Lodestone lovey-doo site. Yeah, so check that out. We have until October 18th at 7:59 a.m. Pacific time to get this. And this, by this, I mean the awesome prizes you get. There's this amazing black car That all I'm looking at is a picture, so it kind of to me looks like a Batmobile without the top, like a convertible Batmobile almost. And then it also might have like a little bit of a goth vibe because, you know, it kind of looks a little like, but like Batman kind of looks like that anyways. It looks like Batman. I'm just gonna say that. And then there's hairdos that like two hairdos that unlock for whatever gender hairdo, whatever you got going on. For your characters, they have corresponding hairdos, and then they also have outfits, all black, of course, because it is the Man in Black quest. They have black high heel or black combat boots and black pants and black everything. Everything is black. So it a lot of cool stuff to unlock. All right, so yeah, I'm gonna ramble on to item number two in the news. Oh, right. Our news entry number two might come with some spoilers for Endwalker because it's just some info that came out of the live letter that came out yesterday on September 17th. So if you don't want to know anything about what was in the live letter, then just don't listen to this. Just put your fingers in your ears unless you're driving and go la 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 for just a little bit and then check back in to see if I'm done yakking about it. So this is your spoiler alert. Remember, do not do the finger thing when you're driving. All right. So we will be greeted by a new screen when launching the game while loading in with the expansion purchased. They let us know, well, through the screenshots and the imagery that they shared in the videos, that we can now see the moon rotating around the planet Hydaelyn, where the story will take place in Endwalker. We will adventure on the moon, but I'm not entirely clear what that will entail or how it actually will come to pass, but it's a thing. And I haven't seen anything about quality of life changes that will be coming in Endwalker yet, but it's really hard for me to give my input here because I'm happy with the quality of life changes in Final Fantasy coming from Warcraft. Because I'm just going to share a little section with you. You know, like how easy it is to rejoin your dungeon party if you die. You don't, like, where I come from my old world of Azeroth, if you died in a dungeon, good luck, chick. You're going to have to, like, you're just gonna have to cross your fingers and hope and pray that you make it back without them, one, realizing that you died, because, you know, only losers apparently die in dungeons. And then also, if you get lost, because you just have that stupid little map there and the little party dots, and then you're trying to, like, navigate through, and it's a pain in the butt, and it caused me such anxiety. Like, I was like, no, I died. So, but no, not in Final Fantasy. It has this handy-dandy little thing, and it's like, would you like to take a shortcut? Well, yes, yes. Yes, I would. Thank you very much, you lovely little portal thingy. So that's one really cool thing, quality of life. And then jumping from one gear set to another, like for your jobs, using a handy button that's hidden in our character screen. Like, if you didn't know this, little sprout, like, open up your character screen and then, like, to the left, top left, it would be like the northwest corner of your little picture of your character. There's a little button there and you click it. And whatever job you're in, it selects the best clothes out of your inventory. You don't have to download a mod for that. You don't have to download any third-party software for that little functionality to happen. So that's amazing. And not to mention being able to move your UI around using the little HUD options where it just lets you design your whole screen. Just go into your little HUD settings. I don't have my game open, so I'm paraphrasing, but just open it up. And if you don't like where an alert is at, guess what? You can move it. You don't got to keep it there. It's amazing. It's beautiful. So it's really hard for me to, like, give feedback on, you know, the whole quality of life stuff, because I feel like I've died and gone to quality of life heaven right now. So don't rely on me to, like, I don't know. I'm happy with what I got right now because I just came from, like, the slums of Azeroth, apparently, because they didn't treat us very nice there. So being able to move all that stuff, oh, it's just awesome. It's also not as punishing, time-consuming, or anxiety-inducing, from what I'm used to. But I have heard some players are hoping for improvements and refreshes of the game's menus and such, so we shall see. And the letter from the producer livestream also gave us sneak peeks into areas from the regions of Endwalker, including, like I told you, the moon, and then Thavnar, and other unspecified places. And it also outlined changes for battle classes, showed a job trailer that showcased the new additions, and then they did a detailed breakdown with the developers, which is cool. And then they showed the rotation of both upcoming classes, the Sage and the Reaper. So from what I've gathered so far, all jobs are going to get some significant adjustments, and these can be abilities that have been reworked or entirely new abilities that are going to be added. And as a Sprout, I'm really interested to see where the story goes, as Endwalkers is said to be the epic conclusion of the main story that started with a Realm Reborn's remake. So I guess we will know more as the release gets closer, which is on November 23rd, 2021. Moving on to our third chunk of news. Here we go. Our third piece of news is titled Square Enix Presents Event Announced for Tokyo Game Show 2021. In a 50-minute presentation, they will have news on upcoming titles at this year's Tokyo Game Show. Square Enix has indeed confirmed that it will be hosting a dedicated Tokyo Game Show segment that will offer, quote, the latest news about our upcoming titles, along with pre-announced information. The stream will take place on October 1st from 3 a.m. Pacific Time to 6 a.m. Eastern Time and will run for just under an hour. Square Enix has no shortage of games that could make an appearance. They have their Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy, Final Fantasy XIV, Endwalker expansion, that's due out in November. They have several mobile games, so I guess we will just have to see all what they choose to announce. So keep your eyes on that. Moving on. Calling for all artisans of Hydaelyn, they hope you've honed your skill as the time to create has come once again. To assist the development team in better implementing your designs, they have prepared templates similar to the ones used by the team when they create, so be sure to use them when submitting your entries. As with their previous design contests, the winning entries will be implemented in-game for players to obtain in the future. Gather your tools, head to the drawing board, and show them your dream designs for the weapons you always wanted to wield for the jobs you love to play. So, some of the rules I'm going to put in the show notes, but I'll share a few of the most important ones, is that there is an age limit. The promotion is open to individuals 13 years of age or older at the date and time of the entry. The entry period starts started on August 30th, 2021 at 1 a.m. Pacific Time and will run till October 4th, 2021 at 7:59 a.m. Pacific Time. So, there was a lot of, people are really excited about this contest and people are like, ugh, I don't like this, this contest, So speaking from a Sprout, I thought it was actually, absolutely fantastic that a company would do this, would allow you to design something and put it in their game. And I thought that was really awesome. And then I went to Twitter and I saw people going, oh, sure, have the community do your work for free. And I can't help but think that's not everyone's currency is monetary in fashion. So for those that would take great pride in knowing that they indeed designed a weapon used in one of their favorite games seems actually, mind-blowing enough for me. It's not like Square Enix went around and hijacked, a portion of their player base and like a kidnapper's traditional like creepy white van and like told people they lost their puppy and like shoved people in and drove them off into some like little building somewhere, pulled them out across the dirty shag carpeting and demanded that they design in-game items for free. I feel like that didn't happen. They put it out there. They said, hey, this is the contest. They didn't say anybody, you know, they didn't do like a draft. Like, all 16-year-olds that play this game, you by law have to make this a weapon. So it's the internet cracks me up. I'm just like, what? These people get mad about anything there is to get mad about, all right? So if you don't want to give your free creative energies to your favorite game and see it come to life in a game, then don't do it. And if you want to, go for it. I think it's amazing. But you know, what do I know? I'm just a sprout, right? I thought it was amazing. And don't take candy from strangers, and don't help creepy white van drivers find their puppies. Just, that's my PSA. Moving on to our next chunk of news. All right, on our next bit of news, I thought this was really cool touch too. I love this part about Final Fantasy's community team. They had posted, as we near the end of the 8th anniversary celebrations for A Realm Reborn, we wanted to share with you the full recipe for the amazing birthday cake created by baking extraordinaire Kim Joy. The recipe below is split into sections, so you'll be able to make select bits or try your hand at recreating the full cake. If you haven't watched the video yet, allow us to show you the process in all its cakey glory. And they finished with saying thank you again for all the amazing support for the last 8 years. The anniversary is always a fun time for the team to remember the journey we've been on together, and the journey we'll continue to travel on. And I included the YouTube video where they go through, Kim Joy goes through and shows you how to make it, and then also the link that has the recipe in it. I just thought, what an amazing touch. That is something that, you know, you hear the cliche, actions speak louder than words. And coming out of a community in a game where it seemed to, like, the treatment of the community and the player base seemed to be dwindling. You know, when you, in any relationship, whether it be professional or personal, actions do speak louder than words. And when people go out of their way to throw in a little extra to make your day a little extra better, you know, holding the door open for someone, smiling and saying hi, you know, just buying someone a candy bar out of the vending machine, you know, they might be hangry and need a Snickers, you know, something like that. Whenever you do things that are not expected of you, I think it speaks volumes. And that's where I look at through a sprout's eyes, fresh pear, and going, wow, this is really awesome. They didn't have to, you know, share the recipe on how to make this cake. And it's just stuff like that, I think, is really awesome. So I wanted to add that into the news in case you are the cooking type. Go for it. I'd love to see. I'd obviously love to taste it, but I just, seeing it is just as good. All right, we'll move on. We got something else I want to share with you. It was announced today, September 18th, 2021, that the 7-inch vinyl record featuring the theme song for the latest Final Fantasy XIV expansion, Endwalker, will be available for purchase ahead of the expansion's launch. The record includes two versions of the iconic track Endwalker. It will be edited as the main theme and Endwalker footfalls heard in the full-length opening trailer. The song is composed and performed by The Primals, the official band of Final Fantasy XIV, while Sam Carter of the world-renowned UK metalcore band Architects appears as the main vocalist. The jacket features an entirely new illustration. From the talented artists of the Final Fantasy XIV team, they have decided to make this a thing, so I put the link to it in the show notes. And for our last piece of news, there was an interview with Yoshi P, published by Inverse.com, that covers 5 milestones Yoshi had during the, actually reflects back on during this interview. And it's pretty unique in the way that it's done. It's done in like a slideshow fashion. So you just click through the slideshow. So it has really awesome screenshots and imagery and art from the game, while also having parts of the interview on the actual image, and then you just click your way through the interview. It's really cool. I really thought it was a neat way to showcase an interview that you do with someone. It's pretty cool. It covers the lows of when Final Fantasy: A Realm Reborn launched in 2010, calling it a disaster with a baffling UI and a mind-numbing level grind. This interview had very beautiful pictures and minimal words for the too long didn't read types, and it walks through the ups and downs of Final Fantasy XIV's crawling stages and ends with where we are now, waiting for Endwalker to release, and with an estimated 3.7 million players as of August 2021. Yoshida says that this next expansion concludes an 8-year story arc and sets up for an even bigger one, even bigger things to come. So I thought that was really awesome. If you guys want to check that out, guess where you can find it? You can go to inverse.com and search for it there, or just head to sproutlifepodcast.com and find the link in the show notes. Moving on to Spotlight, community spotlight time. Here we go. Okay, so welcome to the spotlight portion of the podcast, where I spotlight people and things in the community. So I wanted to actually let you know about my project that will also help me spotlight Final Fantasy 14 content community creators. And this is this new project that actually spotlights the many talented people in this community: podcasters, streamers, YouTubers, Etsy shop owners, artists, soap makers, game guide creators, you name it. I want to add it to the Final Fantasy 14 creator directory found at sproutlifepodcast.com. I already have a growing list thanks to those who have taken the time to lift up their fellow content creators and artists that are in the community. I also have added fellow podcasters whose RSS feeds were available on their website so that their current episode shows up right there in the list, which will make it really easy for people to listen and subscribe and share right from there. So you will make sure, you know, to just stop in and support and listen and subscribe to your favorites, and also find some new favorites. You can also use the voicemail option provided on the site to leave advertisements for your own Final Fantasy 14 stuff, events you are hosting, stream schedules you have, a guide or a blog post that you just posted, an episode, a podcast that you do. I'm a community-minded person, so to me, the more is always the merrier, and I'm just like, let's do a big group hug, right? So the downside is the voicemail option is only a minute long, so I'm not opposed to don't do 10 in a row, but if I have to, you know, copy and paste them together, I'm not opposed to that. I'm a podcaster. What do you think we do when we edit our shows? So our first one, you'll hear poor Alyssa. She's like, I only got a minute to do this, so here I go. I think she did a great job. What do you guys think? Here, I'm going to play it right now.
Hi, this is Elisa Swan. I have 1 minute to make a recording and a pitch. You can find out my info at swanlodge.com. And I'm kind of I do everything from art to merchandising to a lot of tweeting and sometimes streaming. Mostly my streaming, though, focuses on the art that I like to make as a hobby. I specialize in 2D art as well as merchandise that I sell on my Etsy, sometimes my Ko-Fi. The thing that might interest you the most right now are all the free stuff that I offer on my Ko-Fi. I recommend you check out the icons for Discord and some wallpapers as well. Pretty much that's it. You can also visit my house, as I love housing, at Lavender Beds, Ward 3, Plot 16 on Server Ferry. Thank you very much, and congrats to Sprout Life on your podcast.
So isn't that awesome? You can actually head right to the sproutlifepodcast.com, because I added Alyssa to the directory, and I have all of her things right there that she was sharing with too. So if you didn't catch it, if you're driving and you're like, oh, I want to write that down, don't worry. I got her all of her links already linked, so she's easy to find. And I'm telling you right now, I did not even know that there were so many talented, like, I just scratched the surface. So if I also have a handy contact thing at the bottom, so if you have a favorite streamer or podcaster or artist or an Etsy shop or whatever that you just are like, oh, they're not on here, you know, use that and just let me know or tweet me, and I'm just throwing everyone up there. The only qualification that I have is that it's Final Fantasy 14 related, and that the person is not a jack wagon spreading hate and violence. So it's not a who's who of who's or a list of favorites. It's an entirely inclusive list. So there's no gatekeeping. There's no, you're not my favorite person. You looked at me wrong. None of that. That's nonsensical. So I don't roll with that. So, okay. In keeping with spreading the love, I wanted to let you guys know about a fellow podcast crew. It's a new podcast that just came out, and this is my episode 3, and they just released their episode 3. We're little babies. And it is called Just Short. I'm already jacking up their name. It's Just Sort of Casual by Matthew and Beth. And in their about section on their podcast says, two friends talk the lore of Final Fantasy XIV in a hopefully accessible way to old and new players. Matthew is nothing more than a passionate fan who loves the story and world of Final Fantasy XIV. And Beth is a brand new player. Hey, Beth, I see you. I see you, Beth. As Beth progresses through the game, we will discuss every smidgen of lore we can find and figure out. Just Sort of Casual sums up our approach to the game we love, and we will also cover news, in-game events, and community projects. So give us a try as we try out podcasting for the first time. So they just posted, like I said, their third episode, and it's called Just Sort of Casual Carpal Tunnel Generation. And you can find them at the sproutlifepodcast.com in the directory. I put them there. And then you can also find them on Anchor. It's anchor.fm/justsortofcasual, or any really, just put in Just Sort of Casual on any of your podcast platforms. I think they're on iTunes and Spotify and all those places. So if you're listening to mine, you'll probably easily find theirs. So, hey, hey, moving on to adventure time. Yay. Oh, this one's a doozy. All right, so welcome to Adventure Time, Sprout style. All right, so I'm just going to dive right in, right? It's the best way. I found out what a duty roulette was. Duty roulette. So if you're new to Final Fantasy XIV, duties are what I've known as dungeons. So a duty roulette, you know, I didn't know what that was because I, you know, I didn't. And it wasn't what I thought it was. So I queued for a duty roulette without reading the tooltip like I do. And I'm in the duty, the duty pops, and I join, and I'm like, okay, this is a dungeon, like the duties that I did the last, you know, like the dungeons that I'd done. The duty roulette is a random dungeon finder, you know, so there's that. And so I'm in this. I was playing my archer, okay? I'm calling it, yeah, it is an archer, right? Yeah, I'm getting all discombobulated. Yeah, I was playing my level 30 archer. And but she wasn't 30 when this happened. This was like fresh. This was a little earlier in that because I'm juggling my characters, so I'm getting them mixed up. So I'm playing my archer and I'm shooting. Now I come from a hunter lifestyle, and every game I play the ranger class or the hunter class. So naturally I was like the archer class. And I hear from people that the dancer is also fun because they can move very fluidly like the hunter lifestyle that I'm used to, but also the archers doing that as well, because you know it's an archer. So I am not used to the distance being so strict, where you are at in regards to the mob that you're trying to kill, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm noticing that spells on my toolbar have little red X's on them, you know? And I was like, what's that all about? So I didn't. And because I am easily sidetracked and overwhelmed by like sensory things, and I get really engrossed in my game, I apparently didn't see the flashing little warning that's like, you can't do that, you're too far away, you know, that message. And I'm just so fixated on, why do I have little red X's on my spells? I felt very like, this is really going to jack up my DPS. I already probably suck because I'm a sprout and this is new to me, but now my spells are X'd out. And then you know what I told myself? Oh, it's because I'm in a duty roulette. They must like put my spells on a roulette wheel and they're like, oh, at this boss fight, you can't use this spell. You know, how wacky of an actual mechanic would that be, right? But in my head, I thought, well, this is a new game. This is called Duty Roulette, not Dungeon Finder, you know? So I said, oh, well, then this is normal. So then they must know, oh, well, she sucks because this is a duty roulette and the roulette wheel just randomly chooses spells to let us not use. Yeah, that's, I'm not kidding. So I went through the whole dungeon not realizing, or the whole duty not realizing, that the real reason why I couldn't use some of my spells was because I was a little too far away from what I was shooting, and I'm not used to such a stark difference in distance, I'd have to say. What I've been used to, it wasn't that punishing, the distance. So I didn't realize this until I was out of the duty roulette. And I was shooting mobs and it did the same thing. And I was like, well, what? And now it's doing it to me out here? For real? Is this a real? So then I'm like, oh my gosh, Harina. Yeah. So it's quite humbling sharing that story with you guys. I don't even know. Anyway, so hey, if you have little red X's on your spells, move closer. Okay, move closer. This is what you get when you play a new game by yourself and you just haphazardly run into poles. So here's that. So I'm just going to let you know what a duty roulette is in real life and not what Harina thought it was back then. So duty roulette is a feature for the duty finder, like a dungeon finder, and it was first introduced in patch 2.1. Duty roulette allows the player to participate in random duties. Since patch 2.1, various additional roulette modes have been added or changed to reflect the changing state of the game. Players can begin to participate in the duty roulette at level 10 or higher. The roulette unlocks automatically when you unlock at least 2 guild hests. So, duty roulette is divided into several categories: expert, level 80 dungeons, level 50, 60, 70, leveling, trials, main scenario, guild tests, alliance raids, normal raids, frontline, and mentor. And the funny thing is while I'm reading all this, I haven't experienced a lot of this stuff yet because I'm still a baby. So, players must queue alone for frontline and mentor roulettes. And if role requirements are met, trials, normal raids, alliance raids, those roulettes allow 1 to 8 players to queue up as a group, and all other roulettes allow 1 to 4 players to queue up as a group. So the rewards for duty roulette, there are rewards for doing the duty roulette. It offers daily rewards that give the players a combination of experience, grand company seals, cracked stellar clusters, cracked planet clusters, and gil, depending on the type of the duty that you are doing, your job depending on what is currently needed, and also depending on the level of job when entering the queue. The type and number of tombstones available for each roulette often changes with new patch content. So roulettes reset every day at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Poetics are given to players who are at least level 50. Endgame tombstone rewards are only given to players who are at the level cap. The guild amounts and company seals given are based on a level 80 class. Lower level players will receive a smaller bonus than those listed. The in need bonus is given to the party role, the tank, healer, or DPS that is most needed for the duties in that particular category. And the bonus stacks with the daily rewards and is received every time a player completes a roulette while meeting the requirements, even if they have already earned the daily reward. Daily challenge frontline also awards 600 PvP experience points and 1,000 wolf's marks once per day. So I put the link to that in my show notes. So yeah. Yep. Wait until you hear next week's. I already have it in the show notes. It's been fun, let me tell you. All right, we're moving into some community tips. Yay, lots of good stuff. All right, so now we're going to share some community tips. And the first tip is titled, "You're Probably Fishing Wrong, Tips and Corrections from a Fisher Main." And this was posted by Master Fisher Grandmaster Caster on Reddit. And they start out with, "Okay, now this is a long post, so I'm only reading the bold titles, and then I'm leaving the rest for you to check up for yourself in the show notes." But because they list the things you're doing wrong, and then they go in depth under each bold bullet, and I'm not reading all that because I'm not. So here we go. They said, "Okay, so fishing, you're doing it wrong. It's that weird job that no one does anything with because they think it's bad. A lot of this is because it is a bit confusing. There's a lot of mechanics in fishing, and the game doesn't really explain them well. Something they don't explain it at all. Sometimes it's just an unclear translation. So here's me ranting about common fish errors, some of the common issues I've seen in my travels as a fisherman. These are all backed up with the community testing, data, and experience after catching nearly 45,000 fish. So number one, patience does not increase the chances of catching big fish. It only increases the physical size of whatever fish you catch. So stop using patience. Two, to try and catch Cinder Surprise. Mooch and Mooch 2 are different." So they said that Mooch only works when you catch Moochable HQ fish. Mooch 2 only works when you catch Moochable NQ fish. Pre-made parties in ocean fishing do not give you a bonus. Through data mining, we know exactly what each of the bonuses do in ocean fishing. You're put into a party when you join on ocean fishing voyages, and whatever that party does counts toward the party achievements that you will see. That being said, ocean fishing is fun with friends, so party up. Chum and or release do not increase the chance of dolphins or seagulls procking on a boat. Fish eyes do not let you catch any fish at any time. Fish eyes only remove the time requirements from the fish. The weather must still be correct for fish to bite, if it has a weather requirement. Additionally, it only lets you catch some fish. You can't use it to catch legendary fish, aka fish in the final 0.55 patch of an expansion. You aren't doing anything wrong. Fish sometimes just don't bite or hook. Unlike BTN and MIN nodes, fish have a fixed catch rate for the most part. All you need is to reach the minimum gathering rating to catch a fish. Anything more won't really help you. I've had level 1 anchovies get away from my line while in full BIS 2250 plus gathering gear. Also, fisher's intuition does not trigger spectral currents in ocean fishing. Surface slap stays up if you don't reel in or catch a fish. So it says, yeah, so you can catch a fish, slap it, and then just not reel it in anything else until you get the bite you want. And there's are always ways to know. Same with identical cast. Chum, though, will always fall off regardless of if you catch a fish or not. And then they said, they wrapped up with, okay, I think that's the most common errors and misinformation and things that they've seen. Happy fishing. They hope this helps. And then they came back and they dropped the Discord link for Final Fantasy XIV fishing needs. And I was like, what? Wow, they actually have a Discord entirely based off from and for fishing. So I put that link in the show notes. I haven't tried it because I haven't even touched fishing yet in the game. I'm still leveling through my main story quest line on my archer and my conjurer. So that's where I'm at. But if you are wanting to know more about fishing, it sounds like there's a really handy, helpful Discord, and that is in the show notes. And I also put the link to the Reddit post too. And now we're going to hear from Shanti. Shanti has a tip for new players, something that they wish they knew when they started. Here we go.
One tip that I would offer Sprouts is to check your inventory when you start going to the Waking Sands. After many trips to Horizon and running to Vesper Bay, I realized that there are Aetherite tickets that will send you directly there.
We just heard from Shanti, and if you want to hear more from Shanti, you can visit them on Twitch, and they are also on the Sprout Life podcast, the content directory under Shanti Gaming, so you can find them there too. So now I wanted to share a tip from a post on Reddit by A Brew Poison on Ultras, and they just wanted to drop this little bit of information and say, I can't tell you how to spend your money, but I'd implore you. If it's your first character, don't purchase a story skip. Sometimes the main story quest line can be a little bit of a slog, but if you skip all of it, you're missing out on a large part of what makes this such a great game. So I just wanted to share that with you and pass that bit of information on from an experienced player in case that was something you were pondering doing. And then Kumi Nico at Kumi Nico on Twitter just wanted to let me know that they had heard my second episode of my podcast when I was talking about, you know, the OTP, the extra security that is offered. And they just wanted to point out that on the OTP software smartphone option, people tend to forget to remove it and then they get the code for it before moving to a new phone. In other words, locking themselves out of the game, an action that can only be removed through customer service. And customer service only works from Monday to Friday. And they said that that was the last reason that they removed theirs was because the IP also plays a role on the security, and they figured someone had to travel to their little island to really steal their account. So they took it off because it was too much of a hassle to use it, and they switched phones a lot. So I thought I would share that with you guys too, some feedback from someone who has had a similar situation. I've had that happen in Warcraft because we had our smartphone authenticators, and I have had that problem, but I had to get a hold of customer service, but it's a pain in the butt. You know, it's definitely a catch-22. You got the, you know, extra security on your account, or you have an extra headache to worry about if you forget to get that code and swap it over to your new phone. So I wanted to thank Kumi for sharing that information. My DMs are always open if you have tips that you want to share. If you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail and you don't feel like doing an email, I do get them on DM too, so that helps. And also, I saw at Chrissy Chi asked on Twitter, Is waiting until I fish the MSQ to... Oh, I said fish. I still have fish on that on my mind. Is waiting until I finish the MSQ to level other jobs a bad idea? Because that's what I've been doing. I haven't touched anything but Bard. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's the same way I've been. Like, I've just been... I took Kumi Nico's advice and they said, just stick to your main story quest lines and don't get sidetracked with all this other stuff. So I've been leveling my same jobs on both of my little characters simultaneously and just focusing on my main story quest lines. And then Gareth at Dad TV or at Dad Gaming on Twitter replied, it honestly doesn't matter. You'll find that you get an XP boost to classes below your highest, but you don't have to be level 80 for that. So really play how you want. So I wanted to thank Dad TV Gaming for that and actually all their support on Twitter and helping me get the content directory up and going by pointing me in the direction of a lot of awesome artists and content creators. So that's awesome. And you can find them on Twitch as well under Dad TV Gaming. And also, I wanted to share at Sloth_McDuck had asked the question. They said, I'm in Final Fantasy 14. I hit a wall. I'm 48. I need to get to level 50 to continue the ARR quest. What can I do to get the last two levels? Just run chain dungeons? And then at McCain came in with a reply and said, do the highest level dungeon in the roulette that you can do and get a food buff. If you're in a free company, which is Final Fantasy's versions of guilds, and the XP buff is active too, that also helps. And also leveling dungeons gives a ton of XP. And then also Naya Cook also replied to McDuck and said, run Palace of the Dead for two levels, boring but effective. Don't need any special gear or anything, just go in and run the levels. And they said, you may need to do an intro quest or something, but I think it doesn't take long. The area itself is in Quarry Mill, can't remember the quest line to unlock it though. So there's nothing that Google can't help you find out. And then also, Abashima asked on Twitter, I see that Final Fantasy XIV has a bunch of mounts for sale, but is there any way to get other mounts in game? So far I have the Chocobo and the Polar Bear. That's the boat I'm in right now. I assume there's one or two at the casino for tokens. Are there others out there though, like dungeon drops or whatever? So Sarah Grayson at Vickernoff on Twitter replied, I think there are three or so mounts from the achievement vendor. Let me give you the info in a short few. And then they followed up with a picture of the exact location. I have the link to their tweet so you can see it for yourself, where the achievement vendor is. And included in their tweet, there are three mounts that you can get that cost 6 tokens each, the Magic Tech Deathclaw, the Behemoth, and the Ahriman, I have no idea what that is. Every 50 points you get one token. You just need to talk to them to get your point or to get your tokens. So then RockTB followed up saying that there is actually a ton of in-game collectible mounts, so you don't need to worry. Tons of them are instant drops or quest completion mounts. So there you go. If you've been wondering if there's some extra mounts out there for you to get, just hold tight. You're going to run into a lot of options outside of purchasing them. So we are going to be closing up this fantastic episode. It was good to be back in the seat, and now we're moving into closing time. Hold on. Here we go. All right, in closing, I just wanted to remind you how you can find the show and where you can get a hold of the show, and that is at sproutlifepodcast.com, where you will also find the show notes, all of the links that I referenced, and the new content creator directory, so you can sift through and connect with some new content creators, purchase some Christmas presents, birthday presents from the artists that are on there right now. And also you can leave messages and tips like Shanti and Alyssa did. You can advertise your own stuff. I welcome you to do so. Or if you just want to say hi, hey, I won't turn down salutations. But I wanted to end each episode with a quote from the game. And this is from LSI. I'm saying that wrong, I'm pretty sure. I should be stronger for all my experiences, yet my heart aches more than ever. So I thought that was a beautiful and, you know, relatable quote from Final Fantasy XIV. So you guys have a great day, and I'm so glad that you came back and gave my show another listen. Moving on to episode 4. If you want to send in any information you have about G-posing, that might be a good one, because I think I'm going to talk about that and some on next episode in episode 4. And not to, you know, mention, I listened to Asmon Gold's interview, and I found out another entirely different part of the world of Final Fantasy 14 that I had no idea existed. So, yeah, it all just kind of happened organically, so I'm going to talk about that as well. So if you have any of your own information or experiences, send them my way. All right, and I'll see you in episode 4. Bye.